Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus had already entered Jerusalem on the donkey on Palm Sunday. He had cleansed the temple of those conducting worldly business on Monday. He has embarrassed unbelieving Jews and the Pharisees with the parables of the wicked tenants and the wedding feast for the Son. And in so doing, announcing their rejection of Messiah, God's chosen one. Jesus has demonstrated mastery over the Old Testament scriptures and over the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they have challenged him to the best of their ability. But Jesus has proven too much for the task. As the Tuesday before the great Passover celebration was winding down, one last Pharisee dares to approach Jesus with one more test. Which is the great commandment in the law? Now, this man was not an ordinary Pharisee. This was one of their finest students, finest specimens. He was an expert in the law, much like St. Paul was, as a Pharisee known as Saul. So how a teacher would answer this great question about the great commandment in the law would be very revealing about his thinking, about his character, about his identity. But rather than zero in on one of the Pharisees' own 613 laws, Jesus went to the heart of them all. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Here, in these words, Jesus beautifully lays out what is most important in God's word and what is most important for God's people. None of the other laws that the Pharisees had come up with in their greatest moments, none of them come even close to these two great commandments. And one could even venture to say that the laws of the Pharisees in all of their splendor gave no hint or no reference to these two great commandments. And yet Jesus, standing before them, says to them clear as day that all the law and the prophets, their beloved scriptures, the Old Testament, depend on these two. Now, Matthew does not record any type of reaction from the Pharisees to Jesus' great statements. Now, that could be that the Pharisees are satisfied with Jesus' answer. And it could also be that Jesus moves quickly to the offense as he now chooses to ask them a question. And while the Pharisees failed in every attempt to trick or trap Jesus, he knows where they are weak. Jesus knows what will be a hang-up for these men. And so he asks them about the Messiah, the Christ. Whose son is he? Now that part is easy for these Pharisees to answer. For every Jew knew that the Messiah, God's chosen one, will be from the house and line of King David, their greatest and their best loved king. And so that the Messiah would be great among men and in their presence. This was not an issue. But that he is also, at the same time, true God. That is the issue. And so Jesus quotes from Psalm 110, a beloved psalm amongst Christians even today. It is a psalm written by King David himself. And in this psalm, David makes it clear that the subject of his writing is the Messiah, God's anointed, the Christ. And he will be one of David's own descendants, his son. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." This, no doubt, reveals the true nature of Messiah, that he sits at the right hand of Yahweh God. And it is Yahweh's great desire to make the enemies of the Messiah's footstool, a true sign of power and victory over one's enemies. Now, all this sounds great in the ears of the Pharisees and the Jews surrounding them, for they love this idea of a great and powerful Messiah who is favored greatly by God. And they especially love this talk in the midst of their current situation as they find themselves servants of Rome. My Lord. That is the phrase that catches the Pharisees and the Jews. My Lord. That is the phrase that Jesus zeroes in on. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? To this, the Pharisees have no answer. They are stumped. And worse than that, they do not want to admit what that means. And what that means is that the Messiah is to be the descendant of David and David's own Lord at the same time, simultaneously. That is the truth about the Messiah. That is what is necessary for the salvation of all mankind. These two full and perfect natures in the one Christ are what is required for forgiveness of all sins to be won. And without this truth, no one, not one, lives forever with God. And without the Christ being God and man, we are forever in our sin. This truth, as clear as day, was the stumbling block for the Pharisees. And that Jesus, the man standing before them in their midst, who is willing to defy their great righteousness, that he claimed to be this Christ, was the greatest offense. Jesus remains a stumbling block today. In some way, shape, or form, many still cannot accept Jesus for who he is. Mostly today, people of the world cannot believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They call him a good teacher, a good man, a prophet, a healer, but not God. There have been others who could handle the Messiah being God, but not being man, much like the Jews of Jesus' day. There is no doubt that Jesus knew all of this going in. No doubt that he knew the kind of stumbling block he would be for sinners, all of us. And yet Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is necessary for our salvation. Gladly, willingly, he came to do what only he could do: suffer and die as God and man for the sins of the whole world. And that is not a truth that remains stuck in the past. That is a truth that comes to us here today, right now. It is found in every word of God's word, the Bible. For Jesus is the very heart of Scripture. The truth about Jesus has created faith in each of us in those waters of baptism, where Christ's name itself, his seal, is put on you. True God and true man come to us as the one Christ in the bread and wine, where Jesus gives us his true body and his true blood. Stumbling blocks for sinners. Stumbling blocks that save sinners. How truly great it is to know this truth about Jesus, that he is fully God and fully man for us. He is for us. All he is for us. How truly great it is that King David, way back when, recognized the true nature of God's Messiah. And how truly great it is that this truth about Jesus is not a secret. It is spoken in the Word and poured out freely in the sacraments. It is for all to hear, for all to believe, now and forever. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.